Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on how to receive staff reporting. This podcast answers the question, how can I improve reports I get from my staff? How can I reward people who get their reports in on time? And how in general do you respond to reports from the field? Wendy, we've talked before about work isn't done until it's reported on, until it's communicated to other people, and managers and professionals all over the workplace get reports and information from elsewhere in the business and your directs and your peers and so on. It's important. You need it. And your work has to get done and their work has to get done. We've already talked about what you do when you don't get what you need. We call that owning the inputs. What do you do when you get what you need in order to make sure it keeps happening? Even though most managers would say today something like, well, if they do what they're supposed to do, I shouldn't say anything. They're just doing their job. And what we've learned is that's not exactly true.
No news is good news, right? If your manager's talking to you, it must be bad news.
Yeah, which is the fault of managers over the years. And we ought to do something about that. So what's our guidance?
So first of all, we're going to talk about acknowledging the person's work, acknowledging that you got the report, sharing information, and then telling their manager.
Okay, good. So acknowledging their work.
Yeah, so when people send you what you want, then the right thing to do is to say thank you. Not only because then they know they received it, but because they've just done their part in you being able to do your job properly. And what happens with most things is you send whatever it is you're supposed to be reporting and it goes into this big black hole, and then that makes you resent having to send it. Like, if nobody's grateful for it, why am I even doing it? And so the very act of saying thank you makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it really is. The bar is so low. People think, oh, I'm getting the report I'm supposed to get. You know, I got it. I won't read it. It's not a deliverable of mine. I don't, you know, it's not urgent for me. Even though that person did what they're supposed to do, I don't want to read it right now. I'll put it in my file for later. But all you're doing is becoming a black hole, right? You're literally the guy who gets the report, and the guy who sent it to you is like, yeah, okay, great. I did my job and nobody noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And for people who work in head offices or in accounts or somewhere where you have people out in the field or people remote from you, it can be big other offices sometimes and it's the head office thing, but people literally go, oh, head office want it. Like, it's just, they don't like you, but they have this negative view of people in head office who they have to send reports to, because all they ever get from those people is more rules and more things that they've been told that they're doing wrong. And if you go out among field teams or among people who work with customers, you often get that kind of head office kind of thing. And they think of you as people who you don't get the business, you don't earn the business, you don't do any work, like, you know, the guy who's up the electricity pole.
The work you do is creating more work for them. The people who think of themselves, exactly, as being close to the customer, who bring in revenue, who serve customers, who do product development and so on, they have no personal relationship with you. You're literally lumped into a group that they don't like. And it's actually fashionable to not like the head office.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And yet, you expect reports to be sent. If I'm late, I know I'm going to hear from you guys. If I'm on time, I hear nothing.
So for the rest of this podcast, most of the examples we're going to use is expenses, just because most people have had the experience of having to send in expenses more than perhaps other types of reports. So you can substitute the word expenses for whatever reporting is in your job, and the same things will apply. So anybody who's ever had to fill in an expense form knows that it's a pain. There's always these fields for things that you never knew even existed, like fill in your office number or fill in your division's cost code. And you think, why is that? Like, there's no help. It's just there, a box. And if you don't fill it in, you get told off. And there's never, like, any help in filling the form out, right? If you've got to do mileage, it says from and to, but it doesn't say, okay, this is what happens if you diverted on the way to have lunch with your Aunt Mary, or this is how you track it if you went to four customers in the same business park. And you always have to guess.
Yeah. Because the person who created the report is the person who wants the information, not the person who actually does the work in the field. So part of this guidance is for you to recognize that we feel your pain, and it is normal to go, this report isn't helpful to me, because the report is designed to be helpful to somebody else, but wouldn't it be nice if they consider the people who actually had to do the work? And they don't, generally speaking.
And we always had to attach receipts or attach photocopies of receipts, and they all had to be in triplicate. And nobody ever told you why. Why do I have to copy this three times? And why does each receipt have to be on a separate piece of paper?
Yeah.
But nobody ever told you why. So it's no wonder that people hate doing their expenses. But if you don't submit them, there's consequences. If you don't submit them, you get calls from finance saying, what have you been charging? Your boss might get notified and say, oi, go fill in your expenses. I don't want to be nagged about this.
Right.
In a lot of companies, if you wait too long, you don't get reimbursed for that amount, right? If you've waited 6 months, you don't get those $500 or $750. And so you can understand why people get annoyed with the people who want information, because they're always being nagged about these stupid forms and this stupid information, and it has to be in a stupid way. And like, if you're really wound up, there's a lot of stupids you can fit in. But when you do it right, nothing happens. There's no acknowledgement, like no thanks, no information about how what you're doing is used. And if you were three, which none of us are, you would throw a temper tantrum because you get the attention, right? Good children don't get any attention. So you're being the good child and getting no attention, so you might as well be bad, right?
Yeah. So what do we tell people? If they're in one of the roles where they receive documentation, they receive reports from the field, where you have to maybe collate those, where your work relies on work submitted by others, what do we tell them? What's our guidance?
The first thing is say thank you. Tell people that you've received whatever it was that they sent in. Tell them it was
useful
to you.
Okay, but let me push back. I'm a field person, I say, or I'm the person who receives a report, and I'm saying, you're saying if I get 21 field reports and 20 of them are on time, one's late. Of course, previously what you're telling me is I would only ping a guy after a day and say, hey, I didn't get your report yet. You're saying that for those other 20 that are on time, I should say a quick note. You're saying I should say 20 quick email, hey, thanks. Thanks for getting in on time.
Yeah. Because if it takes you 2 minutes to write those emails, we'll be generous. We'll give you 3 minutes. That's an hour a week, and it will come back to you 1,000-fold in gratitude.
Yeah. So just say thanks. In the same way, when you send something to somebody and they don't acknowledge it, you wonder, does anybody even look at this stuff? And believe me, as a general rule, guys, if you send something to your boss and your boss doesn't say anything about it, or more specifically, doesn't ever ask you questions about it, he or she's probably not reading it. They have justification, but if you're the one receiving it, that's the assumption that the person who's sending it is making about you, that you're not even reading it. And they begin to resent you in such a way that they don't do it, or they essentially, they take care of the people whom they care about, which is not you, and your stuff ends up being late, and your lack of acknowledgement increases the chances that your job is going to be harder. So that thank you, that brief note, is an investment in better performance in the future.
Because if you don't say thank you to those 20, after a year, you're going to be pinging 15 of them because they're all late.
So, okay, and then you say share information.
Share information, exactly. So when the organization only has one person, sharing information is really easy, because all you have to do is talk to yourself. And once you have two people, you have to say things out loud. I don't know if anybody has noticed, but none of us so far have become telepathic. And so if you don't communicate out loud with people, they don't know that something has happened or that something exists or so on.
And of course, we know, guys, that you're saying, I'm already swamped. I'm swamped with all this stuff. I've got issues. I got problems. I got lateness and everything else. And I don't have time to do this. What we're telling you is you'll actually get more time back by acknowledging stuff, because a lot of the problems you're having are about stuff that people aren't getting to you. If you want to get more of that and have you make a little investment now, you get smoother responses in the future. And oh, by the way, if you're not saying thank you, maybe you're having more delinquencies and so on, you start saying thank you. It'll become real obvious who the problems are. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to point that out, as we'll talk about later, for those folks whose bosses need to be reminded, hey, that guy's good and maybe this other guy's not. You don't have to tell them, hey, that guy's not any good. But when you say, hey, Joe and Bob and Terry, three of the four people who work for you, they're great. And when they say, well, what about Jack? You just say, well, you know, you don't have to say anything, but they'll understand, right?
Yeah, it's blindingly obvious.
But what we know about communication, since this really is about communication, and people forget that about reporting. People think of reporting as a burden, but actually it's a form of formalized organizational communication. And the organization exists to allow the specialization of labor. But the thing that connects, that makes specialization of labor useful, is the communication between entities within the organization. So what we're saying is communication's two-way. If they're only sending something to you and you're not responding, it doesn't feel like two-way communication to them. It's like a bulletin board. So you've got to reply.
Yes, and reply to them as an individual so that you're connecting on a personal basis. Because if we go back to expenses, the most common email you get about expenses is you get an email blast that's to absolutely everyone that says they've changed the rules that they seem to do, you know, frequently. Or it's the one that says, you must fill in part one, section B, and several letters.
One of my favorite words when I get notes like that, it comes across as officious. And if you don't know what officious is, O-F-F-I-C-I-O-U-S, folks, look it up. Yeah, that's officious.
So what happens if you don't have a personal connection, a personal communication, personal relationship with people? When they get those notes, they assume that you're that person and they associate those notes with you. And then they're even less likely to send the things that you want them to send.
And by the way, you send them nasty notes, but probably nothing bad happens to them. And so over time, they realize you're not close enough to them, you're not powerful enough, and your nasty notes have no impact. You hate it. It drives you crazy. You have to send a nasty note. And probably if it doesn't work, you then increase the nastiness, when in fact, you should be going in just the opposite direction. The amount of nastiness you can put out there increases the chances you're not going to get. If you ever have to go to the well and say, hey, I need to change my deadline, I need to move it up a couple of days because I'm going to be on vacation, nobody's going to listen. You're going to be the boy who cried wolf. So a little bit of thank you, a little bit of investment makes a lot of difference. But you're saying share information beyond just telling them thank you. You're saying share. What do you mean by share?
So there must be a reason that you are receiving information, right? You there must be a reason for those field reports or whatever. I hope there's a reason, because if there's no reason, nobody should be doing it. And the people that are sending them to you don't know what that reason is, mostly, and they don't understand what the effect is. So if you were in finance and your job was to receive the expense forms from, I don't know, a division, you do want to have that personal thank you. I'm really, really grateful that you sent this in on time, makes my job easier, but also send out the information that comes out of the reporting. So, you know, the division received all of the expense reports on time and the total was down 2% from last month and the CFO is thrilled.
Yeah.
You might have to write it a bit more officially than that, but people feel then like, oh, someone does something with this information. Somebody reads it. Somebody cares about it. If you don't have the authority to write emails like that, then if you're getting something from, I don't know, if you don't have the authority, you're probably receiving less. So you could say something like, hey, thank you for sending me all your reports. They went to the monthly operations meeting and it all went smoothly. I'm really grateful that you sent your reports in so that I could make my report on time.
I'll go a step further. I think you have to specifically be denied the authority to share whatever report you collate, you aggregate. You have to be denied giving that back to the people in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people say is, no, I just collect the report. I'm not supposed to share it with people in the field. No, really, executives won't tell you, no, don't return that information to them in the aggregate. Of course you can. And nobody's specifically telling you not to. And if you've assumed that you can't, you're probably wrong. And it'd actually be better to get in a little bit of trouble from some senior person that you shared it back with people. And if some director who you don't work for says, hey, why are you sending that back out? Why are you sending that report down to everybody else. Well, they're the ones that put in the raw material. Why don't we at least share with them some perspective on what else we're getting from everybody else? Oh, well, who told you to do that? Nobody. I just know if I'm in the field and I send a report, I kind of like to know how it gets aggregated. Well, maybe the director will fall on his sword or really get frustrated and go, you shouldn't do that. But you know, unless your boss specifically tells you not to, go ahead and do it. I'll tell you, I start getting, hey, by the way, here's how your stuff was put together. Maybe I don't read it or not, but now I feel like I'm talking to a guy who talks back to me. Again, his report gets prioritized more than somebody else's who only chides me when I make a mistake.
So don't be a black hole, because people work better if they understand.
Because everybody hates black holes. Dude, you don't want to be that guy.
Exactly.
And smile at people on your way up, because you'll see them on the way back down. That guy in the field who you're a black hole to, he gets promoted twice and now he's VP of sales, or he gets promoted three times, he's VP of sales. Like, oh, you're the guy I sent that report to. Yeah, I never heard from you.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I know what my people in the field think of you, and I'm going to support my people in the field. So if anybody in the field ever complains to me about reports to you, I'm going to take their side. Even though you may be doing a good job and you may be doing the right thing, you just haven't built relationships such that people take their side with you. Now, you may say, well, that's not really the way it should be. Well, hold your breath waiting for the world to be the way it should be. World's not fair. Okay. Last point is you're also recommending tell their manager.
Yeah, and nobody ever recommends, and nobody exactly. ever expects someone to send a note to their manager that says, hey, Pop got his expenses in on time.
Yeah, or hey, by the way, this quarter, just want to let you know, you got 17 guys out of 18 that are always on time with their expense reports. And maybe even one guy who was late by a day, he pinged you in advance and told you because you've said thank you to him, hey, I'm going to be a little bit late. And so you don't mention that he was late one time. You say 17 out of the 18 are almost always on time. The one guy who you're highlighting there is always late. Okay. Now look, if he's the guy or gal who's late and they're the number one salesperson, they can probably get away with it. But my guess is they may not be. The odds say that they're not in top 1%. They're more likely in the bottom 99%. And if that's the case, then you're going to have help. And it won't be coming from you to motivate that person to get his stuff in on time. It'll be coming from their boss. So good. Okay.
Even things like getting your expenses on time, which you think is like, it's a fairly low bar to cross, right? You
yeah.
fill in the form, you photocopy the receipts, and you know what day it's going to be every month. I can't imagine, like, I would bet 30% of any one organization does not get their expenses in on time.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Easy.
Easily.
Yeah.
Right?
But heaven forbid, a expense payment is a couple of days late.
Yeah, that's right. Like, everybody expects their salary to be right.
I can vouch for this. Mike and I, you know, the two different sides of the company here at Manager Tools. Mike has Paul Schwier working for him, who does technology stuff. He's an IT guru, and he recently had to work with Paul on putting together some website pages, and Paul was quick and efficient. And I said, thanks to Paul. And he got me a report that I needed in order to have a meeting with the presenting team. And so I just mentioned it to Mike. I said, hey, by the way, Paul was great. Now, we're a small company. You know, there's less than 20 people here so far in 2016. But I'll tell you, I know Mike mentioned it because a couple of days later, Paul said, hey, by the way, thanks for the heads up to Mike about that. I said, dude, all I'm doing is telling him thank you for you doing your job. And he actually said, yep, that's all it was, doing my job. But man, it made his life easier, and he got some positive feedback from his boss. Yeah. Going to the manager is just, it's like rocket fuel for the thank you. It's a qualitatively different thanks.
It is. And because it's so rare, it kind of is a bit like if you send a handwritten letter, in my mind, it gets bigger in the mail because when it arrives, it's a really big deal. And when you sent it, it was just an envelope.
Yeah. If Wendy's my boss... No. Wendy has a team in the field, and her team sends me stuff. And I'm constantly telling Wendy, hey, Joe was late. Hey, Sarah was late. Hey, Tim was late. Whatever. Okay, fine. Wendy begins to get tired of hearing from me. Oh, there's another email from Horseman. He's going to tell me that one of my guys missed something. I like my guys. My guys work hard. Every once in a while, they late with Horseman, but Horseman lets me know immediately. Again, I'm the boy who cried wolf. On the other hand, if I tell him, every once in a while, hey, by the way, I just want to share, Sarah's always on time with this stuff. And it's just an email, right? Or maybe you're in a meeting and you say, hey, by the way, I just want to tell you, your team always gets their stuff in on time. Thanks. The next time you see that person, Wendy might very well say to me, hey, by the way, you ever have any problem with my people? Nope, don't. On the other hand, if that happens, you know, over the course of a year, three or four times randomly, and then one time Wendy says to me, hey, by the way, everything's still going okay? My people getting what you need? And I say, well, mostly. Suddenly now, she is willing to respect my opinion, my facts, my input to him regarding something that may not be great in his team. Now, does every manager do that? No. The managers don't care? That's fine. But this will build relationships. It'll build credibility with the people in the field who are senior stuff, and it'll also build your credibility with that manager. And that's even a better coin to have.
I don't remember which book it was that was... Was it the one-minute manager that had catching people doing things right?
Yeah.
And it was a revelation when that book came out. It was like nobody had ever thought about that before. But catching people doing things right is way easier because most people are doing good things most of the time. And two, nobody ever comments on it.
Yeah. And probably one of the lessons I had to unlearn and I still unlearn to this day is the idea that, well, why should I tell people thanks or good job when they just do their job? I'm not gonna reward them. I said, you think it's a reward to tell people, hey, thanks? That's a reward? No, a reward is a cash spot bonus. Okay, that's not a reward. It's an acknowledgement. It's motivating people, persuading people to do more of what you want and less of what you don't want. So, yeah, it's powerful. Our data shows you really want great performance. Your ratio of good to bad ought to be 9 to 1, 9 good for every bad, roughly. Okay, so summarize for us.
So basically, people are way more willing to supply you with what you need if they feel like their work is acknowledged, or if their work is acknowledged and you send I received it and thank you. If they know what happens to it by you sending them information in the aggregate or from wherever it goes, and if they get praised for it. If their boss says, hey, I talked to that guy in finance, he says you're awesome.
Yeah.
Then he's more likely to do things for you. And all you've got to do is send a couple of emails or mention something in a meeting. Why would you not do that?
And I'll tell you, people sometimes give me a hard time. I got a hard time the other day at a client like, oh, yeah, you're the guy who always says dude on the podcast. I said, yeah. And I send emails that say, when I get something from the field, got it, dude, thanks. And that's all it takes. It's not a formal thank you. It's not a whole paragraph of stuff. It's, hey, dude, got it, thanks. That's all you have to do. It's 4 or 5 words. And by the way, their email's already sitting there. You click the reply button. You have your data. And you, hey, dude, thanks. Really appreciate it. Or thanks again this month. Always knew I can count on you. Done. It's 10 or 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's not something that you need to really think about.
Penny wise and pound genius.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. Okay. I love it, Wendy. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Come back next week. Career Tools. See you then.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.